الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. وقال تبارك وتعالى: قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أسبحك فانظر ماذا ترى. قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. وقال وجاء في الحديث: قيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما هذه الأضاحي؟ قال: سنة أبيكم إبراهيم. صدق الله، صدق الله العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We are honored by Allah تبارك وتعالى for giving us this great occasion. We are in the month of Zulqa'dah, and we are all looking forward eagerly to the month of Zulhijjah. All from Zulqa'dah, this beginning of this month, today is the 24th already, the month is almost gone. And then the next month Zulhijjah, and the next month Muharram. The 3 months, these are Ashhur-e-Hurum, the sacred month. And then the month before Shaban, that is the month of Rajab. These 4 months are the 4 sacred months. The month of Rajab is separate, and these 3 months here are together. There are great, great virtues. The rewards of amal, of deeds, are magnified, are made very great during these months. Allah give us tawfiq to increase all our good deeds. And at the same time, is the other side of the coin also, that sins during these months, the sin is also very great. As it has been explained, committing a sin during these months is like a person committing a sin in ihram and in the haram. A person, for example, goes from here, from South Africa for Hajj, Umrah, and he puts on his ihram here, but he's not still in the haram. But there, right at the haram, a person commits gunas, and in the condition of ihram, how severe isn't that? So we must be very careful of all sins during these times. Also, these months are such that if a person perseveres, makes sabr, observes any good deed during this month, it will become a habit for the rest of the year, for the rest of his life. There are many things that we would like to do regularly. For example, be regular with our namazes on time, read them properly with khushu, khudu, concentration, devotion. Just do that properly during these months. It will become part of us for the rest of our lives. Our tilawat of Quran Sharif, our Yasin Sharif, many our other ma'amulats, which we sometimes do, sometimes don't do, sometimes rush and do during these months, just do all these good things correctly, and then it will remain part and parcel of us. Also, if we can, all our, today we have neglected nafal ibadat very greatly. We just do the basics, our farad, wajibat and sunnat e muakkada, and we miss out almost all the nafil. Even during our 5 times namaz, the nafil namazes, like the 2 at the end of zuhr, the 4 before asr, which is also sunnat, and then the 2 after maghrib, and then the 4 after isha, the 4 nafils, we usually miss them out. We should try and make a habit, and then not only in our namazes, but our other ibadat also. We should try and keep nafil rozas also. In fact, the nafil rozas during these 4 months, a person who keeps Thursday, Friday and Saturday roza, Thursday, Friday and Saturday, the reward is the sawab of 700 years of ibadat. So this is the occasion. And then our charity also, our faraz zakat, we give, Allah accept, inshallah. We should try and give sadaqah, make it a habit on a daily basis to give some sadaqah or the other. So all our ibadat, we should try and do nafal also. It is very, very important. It will be a great storage for us for the akhirat. For example, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam met Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam on the occasion of Mi'raj, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, convey my salams to your ummah. So we ulama say when we hear this hadith, we should say alayhim wa alaykum as-salam, that salams upon them also. Then we should reply to that salam. And we should also at the same token understand what is the great value of this ummah, that we have got salams were sent by such a great Nabi Khalilullah. And from Jannah he sent the salams to us. And brought to us by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time till today, all the great, great muhaddithin who have narrated this hadith, through all of them, this hadith, the salams of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has reached us. Anyway, then he said, and inform your ummah that Jannah is a place, طيب التربة, the land is very fertile. It grows things very, very well. And عذبة الماء, and very good water, plenty water, and very good water also. And of course, the irrigation system cannot be compared by any in the world. And then he said, وَأَنَّهَا قِيَان, but Jannah is a barren land. And غِرَاسُهَا, all the trees and the plants and the orchards and the gardens of Jannah are Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. How much are we reading of that? We should try and read that. And during the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, that reading should be increased. The reading of the third kalima must be all the time on our tongue. On the 9th, read the fourth kalima also. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, lahul mulku wa lahu alhamd, yuhyi wa yumit biyadihi alkhair, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. So the third kalima, and especially during the first 10 days, that is the 9 days of Zulhijjah, we should try and read as much as possible. We should try and read on a daily basis the Salatu Tasbih. So if we read Salatu Tasbih, we will be reading the third kalima 300 times. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, a person who reads Alhamdulillah, wa Subhanallah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu Akbar, wa Tabarakallah. As soon as it goes out of his mouth, the angels, the rewards are so great and so honorable and so magnificent that each angel wants to be the one to take it. And the one who takes it then puts it safely under his wing and immediately goes up to the arsh of Allah. And as they meet any group of other malaika, they also make dua for the reciter of that kalima. And then these kalimat, these words which are called baqiyatu salihat, the good deeds which are perpetuated, which remain forever, they go and yata'afafna al-arsh. They make tawaf around the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَهُنَّ دَوِيٌّ كَدَوِيٌّ النَّحَلِ, and they've got a buzzing sound like the buzzing sound of a bee. What are they doing? What is that buzzing sound? يُذَكِّرْنَا بِصَاحِبِهِنَّ, they are always talking of the person who had read those words. In other words, they are praising us by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. We read it once, and there it goes, and making tawaf, and continuously it's making tawaf. It's making tawaf and talking good about us by Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in fact said, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَحَدُكُمْ, don't any of you love that يَكُونُ لَهُ أَوْ يَزَالُ لَهُ, that for him there be, Or Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that forever there be for him by Allah, indallahi may yudhakkiru bihi, that there is somebody by shay'un indallah, something by Allah, by which, and that something will be remembering you forever and ever. We have read that words. After that, we went and sleep. We got engaged in other work. We will die. But that word there, that tawaf will carry on by those words. So those words are very valuable, especially in the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, which is coming. So we are in very, very precious days. We should try and observe these days very, very, with great, great care, and do all our ibadat. In that 10 days, of course, the days of Hajj are also there then. From the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, when the Hajis will go to Mina, and then on the 9th to Arafat, and then after the 9th, that night, they will go to Muzdalifah, and then they come back to Mina. They will pelt the shayateen. They will then make tawaf again, back to Makkah Sharif, back to Mina again. What a great, great time. Most of us who are here now, we are not going for Hajj this year. May Allah take us all over and over, and at least our hearts be there. At this moment also, we should always be thinking of Makkah Sharif. And most of us, inshallah, have been there, and we know that how vibrant, how busy Makkah Sharif is. All the people, wherever you are, whether you are at the Hajj terminal, where the Hajis come, every few minutes you just hear a group of people coming who have just arrived, and they are still fresh, and everyone, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. The man, the woman, the young, the old, the ulama, the other people, all of them. And in the haram of Makkah also, every now and then you see a group coming in. And all in the ihram, the man, the woman normally in their white clothing, whatever the ihram. So this is what a wonderful time we are in. And all of them are going in between to Medina Sharif also. And at Medina Sharif also, all are going and reading As-Salatu Salam, As-Salamu Alayka Ya Rasulallah, As-Salatu As-Salamu Alayka Ya Habiballah, As-Salatu As-Salamu Alayka Ya Khayra Khalqillah, reading Salatu Salam. What a wonderful time it is. So Allah has given us that opportunity. And Shaitan is also making effort. Just like we know that when December time comes and shopkeepers, retailers are busy, they are making more money. But the crooks are also alert at that time. And they know there's a lot of money changing hands at this time. And they also try to wherever they can to rob the people, to steal them. So Shaitan, there also, he wants to rob us of the great rewards. We are earning the rewards, and then he makes us do things by which we lose all these rewards. For example, a person has written the dua when a person goes into the haram and he enters there. Then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, a person who comes here and with ikhlas for the pleasure of Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala, he reads his labbaik and he puts on his ihram, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. All that he is reading and he is doing it for Allah's pleasure, the great, great rewards he gets. Now what did Shaitan do? And now he has amplified it, made it worse, magnified all the evil, that a person goes there and he takes a selfie at that time. Or he asks somebody to take a photo of his. And then he's busy, now he lifts his hands, makes his face like a crying face, all that. But what? Not for Allah's pleasure. So that he can see it afterwards. And when he goes back home, he can show everyone that, I was going into ihram. And then after the 2 rakats of ihram, namaz we read, then again he's making dua and he's taking photos again. As he's entering the Haram Sharif, he's taking photos, all to show people. So all that reward, now he's doing nothing for Allah's pleasure. He's doing it all so that for him to see it over and over afterwards and to show other people. So we must be very, very careful. Shaitan is there. He has vowed, لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will come to them from in front of them, from their back, from the right, from the left. He won't leave out anyone, he has vowed. And we know right till the end of a person's life. And he doesn't leave out great, great people also. For example, we all know, we have heard it over and over. Hazrat Imam Ibn Ahmad Ibn Hanbal Rahmatullah Ali, one of the four great jurists of the Hanbali Madhab, a very great, very pious person. But Shaitan, right till the end, he was saying all the time, not yet, not yet. And his son asked him, when he went like in a coma, he was like semi-unconscious, oh, my father, what is this? It's time to read Kalima. And you saying, not yet? He says, oh, my son, Shaitan is coming to me and he's trying to and telling me, Ahmad, you have saved yourself from me. And I'm telling him, not yet, till my last moment doesn't go out on Iman. So such a great Imam, he doesn't spare him also. Also, we have heard, and it is also common, we know, Imam Fakhruddin Razi, Rahmatullah Ali, very great alim, great mufassir of the Quran, Tafsir al-Kabir, his great monumental work, which is a great honorable work in the Ummah. He also, till the end, Shaitan came and asked him, what is your proof you believe in Allah? He gave his proof. Shaitan broke that proof. Shaitan has got so much knowledge also. Knowledge also. His ibadat also he made so much. And he had the recognition, ma'rifat of Allah also. But he did not have the love of Allah. And this is the occasion during this month. What the Qurbani, what the Hajj to cultivate the true love of Allah Ta'ala. Not to destroy the little bit that we have got, but to cultivate it. So the 99 proofs he gave to Shaitan. Shaitan broke every proof. Then he heard the sound of his Shaykh coming to him and telling him that tell Shaitan, I believe in Allah without seeing Allah, without any proof. Now which proof can he break? I just believe, and that is what we have to have. And that is a mu'min, that once we know whatever Allah and His Rasul has said, and it has reached us correctly, and we have the correct understanding of it, we don't need any of why we must do it. The hikmat, the wisdom, we don't need that. All we need is Allah's command, and that also we learn from this great institution of Qurbani, that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam told his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Inni ara fil manam, I see in my sleep, I see in my dream, Anni azbahuka, that I am slaughtering you. Fanzur maza tara, tell me, what is your opinion about it? He wasn't asking him mashwara, that he was testing him to see if he is also ready or not. But yeah, the ulama have written, what great wonderful point, that Allah could have given him the command as wahi comes. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes with the wahi, and then there is no doubt. But the true lovers, they just get a sign, and the dreams of the Anbiya are also 100% true. So Allah put it in a dream that though it wasn't wahi, but the true lover, he just gets an inclination what his beloved wants him to do, and he jumps for it. And he immediately wants to do it, and he does it to the T, properly, immediately he was ready. And so that was why Allah Ta'ala showed it in a dream and not sent wahi with it. The other explanation ulama gives also so very beautifully that the dream was that he was slaughtering Ismail alayhi salam, but always there's an interpretation of the dream. And the interpretation was that وَفَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. We gave, when Ibrahim Ismail alayhi salam was born, Allah said we gave him good news, glad tidings of a son that will be born to him, that is Haleem. Haleem is very soft, timid, submissive, very submissive in nature. And the thing that is submissive in nature, by nature, is a sheep. We find camels are also permissible for qurbani, oxen, cows also, and goats also. But here, the sheep itself is one thing that it is not used for any other work. Camels are used for transport also. They are used for other work also. They are slaughtered and eaten also. The same thing with cows and oxen also. But a sheep is not used to plow the land, to carry a wagon, like we have an ox wagon, a horse and cart. Sheep are not used. Sheep are just created for human consumption, that we eat them, that they are slaughtered. So we also will find that when we slaughter sheep, most of the case, they just humble. You just put them down and they don't make a sound. They just submit totally. So that was that hilam that was. So actually it was that the dream had to be interpreted. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's mind did not go to the interpretation. And he was prepared to slaughter his son as his son was. But when he was about to slaughter, and in fact he had put the knife on the throat of his son with all his strength and might, but the knife would not cut. As the poet says, that he's telling the knife that, oh knife, if I put you on a rock, you will cut the rock. So sharp that knife was. And so much of force Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was putting in slaughtering. But yeah, the tender throat of my beloved son, and you don't want to cut. So to say, the knife said, oh Ibrahim, must I listen to the command of Khalil, which is Ibrahim alayhi salam, or the command of Jalil, the command of Allah. Allah, and from here we should learn the lesson also of Asbab and Musabbibul Asbab. The means that are there. Our shop, we see it gives us rosy. Our house gives us shelter. Food gives us satiation. Our medicine gives us shifa. But we must remember all these asbab in themselves, they have got nothing. And they can do nothing. Just like idols can't do anything, all these things also can do nothing. It is all in the hands of Allah. And Allah uses His qudrat in the asbab. That for what it is meant, that your house gives you shelter, Allah puts shelter for you. And you find you are peace and peaceful and comfortable in your homes. And if Allah wants to, He can give you your shelter without your house also. You can stay under a tree and Allah can give you that same comfort. It is all in the hands of Allah. And that very house which is a source of comfort, when Allah wants to use it against comfort, Allah has got that qudrat also. And that the house can start burning and get on fire. And the house that was supposed to protect you and give you shelter, that very house will burn you and burn you to ashes. So it is all Allah's qudrat. The asbab don't have anything within themselves. And we must use asbab also in the correct way, with the correct niyat and with the correct yaqeen. We must not believe that the shop gives us our rosy, that our job gives us our rosy, that the husband is bringing in the rosy, that the wife is giving the food. It is all from Allah. Allah uses all these asbab. So yeah, also that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the dream he saw, that it was when he understood the meaning, it was a sheep that he had to slaughter, which was the interpretation of the dream. But then Allah Ta'ala sent the sheep, and Allah sent it from Jannat. That sheep came from Jannat, Allah Ta'ala sent it. So when it came, then Allah Ta'ala accepted that sheep on behalf of Ibrahim, on behalf of Ismail alayhi salam. Also we learn from here that Allah Ta'ala asks for a heavy thing, but Allah accepts a very, very easy and simple and ordinary thing. Allah asked for the life of Ibrahim, of Ismail alayhi salam. Allah accepted a sheep. Allah ordered 50 namazes for us every day, but Allah Ta'ala accepted 5 namazes, and Allah still gives on 5 namazes the sawab of 50 namazes every day. In everything, Allah puts the challenge heavy. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu zikrullah zikran kathira. O people of Iman, make Allah's zikr in great, great abundance. And after the zikr, wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. And read the tasbih. Read tasbih also. After zikr of Allah, in which is included Quran Sharif also. Tasbih, the third kalima. The fourth kalima, Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, Tasbihat Fatimi, all the various other Tasbihat, and morning and evening, which means that either in the morning and the evening, or it means the whole day. But then Allah Ta'ala gets satisfied. Allah says, remember me for a little while after Fajr and Asr. Just the Tasbihat Fatimi, 33 times to Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. And Allah says, I will suffice you for all the in-between time, for about one and a half minutes in the morning after Fajr, after Asr, about 3 minutes, 2-3 minutes, remember Allah, and 23 hours, 57 minutes, Allah will suffice and look after us. So Allah wants to tell us, do it in abundance, but then Allah is happy and satisfied with just that little also. So Allah give us tawfiq. So this great ibadat of Qurmani, where Allah give us the tawfiq, that we do it properly. It is part of the Hajj, the Qurmani. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what a sacrifice also Allah had taken. And we must realize the Qurbani is not just that animal of 2,500, 3,500 rand, but it is the spirit. لَنْ يَنَالُ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. Allah doesn't want the blood of the animal. Allah doesn't want the flesh of the animal. وَلَاكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah wants taqwa from you, to develop taqwa. Ramzan also, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. Rozas have been made farz upon you. And why? Not just to stay hungry, but لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you acquire taqwa, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the fear of Allah, that is, don't break the laws of Allah, and the love of Allah. In the love of Allah, fulfill the commandments of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So all this Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has afforded us this great occasion. So this the Qurbani, and we know anything, it is not the outward thing that is important, like we have a cup of tea. The cup is not important. What is important is the tea that is inside. We have a plate of biryani. It's not the plate that we want. The biryani which is inside, that is what we want. So the same way, our body also, it's not the body. We paying full attention to our body. We are going for massages. We are going for all types of pedicure and manicure and all types of things we are going. No, the body is not important. The ruh which is inside, that is important. If the ruh is made, everything will be made. If no matter how we make our bodies, our figures, and we are going gymming and jogging and all that just for the body, that is not going to help us at all. What is going to help us is we work on the ruh. So the Qurbani also, not the outward animal of 3,500 rand, but the inside, the spirit, the taqwa, that is what Allah wants. And that is what we must have. And we must not destroy it. At the same time, just briefly I'll again repeat, so that many people are still laboring under the misconception that slaughtering of the animals is a very cruel process, and that we are like making zulm on the animal when we are slaughtering it. Only by Allah's fadl, Qurbani has become quite a bit alive in our societies now. At one time, there was like no Qurbani. Just sending the money away to India, let them make the Qurbani there. And we had no idea what is Qurbani. Only a few families you were engaged in it. But now, alhamdulillah, almost every home, the people are slaughtering, and slaughtering at home. That is the right way. So the spirit of Qurbani, everyone must be involved, and everything must be involved. Our gardens and our yards be involved with the Qurbani. Our kitchens be involved. Our freezers and freezers. The man and the woman, the children, the young and the old, all must be involved in the Qurbani. This Eid, that till Eid namaz, well and good. We are dressed with our kurtas, and we are dressed up, the woman also. But after that, when Qurbani starts, now it must be a different thing. We must be able to see the signs of the blood on the kurtas, etc. It's no more that sparkling, shining kurta in the Eid of Ramzan, where kurtas and everything remain neat and tidy. But now it is a busy day of slaughtering, cleaning and that. And we should take out this notion that we don't like the smell of the Qurbani animals, etc. We should enjoy all that, because Allah wants us to be engaged. So much so that if a woman can slaughter, she should slaughter her animal herself. But of course, with the proper observation of parda, and she must be able to do it. She mustn't cause difficulty for the animal. That just lightly she's moving her hand, and like she's slicing a piece of cake, like that she's slicing it. No, the Qurbani must be done properly with a very sharp knife, and with almost just one stroke we should have slaughtered and severed the neck. Don't give taklif and don't cause harm to the animal in slaughtering. We are not slicing bread, we are slaughtering, and it must be done properly. So anyway, many people are under the misconception that it is lot of zulm and the animal is suffering. That is completely wrong. Around about 20 years ago or so, one university in Bonn, in Germany, and Bonn is the university town of Germany, and one of the universities there, they had conducted an experiment, and they made a research into how much pain the animals suffer when they are killed. They are killed in different ways. One is the common way of zabiha, of slaughter, which is the proper Islamic way, which is the most superior way. But outwardly it seems that the animal suffers a lot of pain. And the other way, which is common in the world today, is of stunning. They stun the animal, and there are various ways that the animal is stunned. And then there are other ways also. But I will speak of this too. So they put electrodes, connected electrodes to the brains of the animals, and measured how much pain the animals get. Very, to their complete surprise, they saw that the animals that are slaughtered, which is the Islamic way, where the animal is slaughtered by its throat, the least pain was in there. And with the stunning, the pain was so much, the electrode couldn't even measure. It was hitting the top. The pain was going past the top, so much of pain. Stunning an animal is making its brain dead. And like a person, if we take a brick, half a brick, and somebody throws it with force on your head, and then you go in a concussion, perhaps you die immediately also. Or you go in a concussion, and in that state, that pain, what the person goes through, in his, the mental pain, is severe, severe pain he goes through. But now his brain dead, so the body doesn't show the pain. And on the other hand, when you slaughter, then the blood goes out. And when slaughtering also, we should remember, especially those of us who will be slaughtering also, that there are four vessels to be cut. One is the food pipe, one is the wind pipe, and the two veins which carry the blood. These four run just under the skin of the throat.
And we should cut such a way that a one stroke we cut and the wind and the food pipe are cut immediately. And then just a little bit down to the one side and again the other side, so that the two veins also are cut. And according to Sharia, at least three of the four must be cut to make the animal halal. The best, of course, is cut all four. And we can see and we should look and see that all four are cut. When that happens, all the blood rushes out now from that animal. And when the blood rushes out at the throat, and the heart is below the throat, where our chest is. And from there, the heart is really a muscle which is pumping blood. Besides other great functions of the heart, one of it is pumping blood to every part of the body. And when blood reaches every part, and the blood carries the oxygen also, that is life for the body. If blood doesn't reach any part, then that part will go dead. It will, even gangrene will set in. They will have to amputate that part of the body for the goodness of the rest of the body. So anyway, now the blood is all coming out at the throat, and it was now it was diverted from reaching the brain. It's now going out of the body. So the brain is not getting blood, but the brain is still alive. The nerve that carries pain is just under the skin. And we see, like when we go for an injection or we have a blood test and they take out blood, when they just pierce the skin, that is the time a person feels pain. But after that, he doesn't feel pain, though the needle is still in the body. And they are now pushing the injection, and the medicine, they are pushing it in the body. Or the blood test, now they are drawing out blood. That needle is still in the body, but you don't feel the pain. So just like that, the animal also, just when that knife just cut, and the skin you almost cut immediately. And when it's a sheep, we should move the wool away and put the knife on the skin. And then with one drive of the knife, of our slaughtering, we cut, and that nerve carrying the pain is cut. Now there is no pain the animal feels. But now the brain is not getting blood. So the nerves of the brain, most of them, 99% run at the back, by the neck, at the back. And therefore, it is makruh to cut the whole head off. A person shouldn't cut the whole head off. Just slice it at the throat, so that nerves which are carrying messages from the brain, they are still functioning, even after slaughtering. And the brain is sending message to all the parts of the body that I'm the brain, the headquarters, and I'm not getting blood, and I need blood to survive. So all the parts of the body start working very hard to supply the blood. Now the animal kicks its legs. A fowl will kick its legs, flutter its wings, not because of pain, but that it's working hard to send the last drop of blood it has got to send it to the brain. But as they are sending, all that blood comes out by the throat. Nothing goes to the brain. And eventually, then the animal dies. That animal, that was the finding of that University of Bonn, that the least pain is experienced in the slaughtering of an animal, and the most pain in the stunning. Though it is hidden, you don't see it. It looks like outwardly that when slaughtering, the animal is getting lot of pain when it's kicking its legs, etc. It's throwing its head from side to side, etc. Or the fowl. And when stunning, because it is brain dead, it doesn't make a movement. But then what is the, that was the experiment, the research of that university. But another very important aspect of this is that any animal that has got all the blood in it, like from stunning, now the only 1% of the blood comes out of the body. When you, because the brain is brain dead, it's not sending messages, and that animal is just like dead, no life in it. So no blood is coming, just a trickle of blood comes out. and the rest of the blood is in the body. And the zabiha, our Islamic way of slaughtering, that is such that all the blood comes out. And the animal which is the most tastiest and the most healthiest to eat is that animal that has got no blood in it. And in their way of stunning, all the blood remains, and that is the most unhealthiest and the most untastiest. It's a different thing with our spices. We make it taste spicy and enjoyable, but that meat is most unhealthy and most untasty. So our way is the best way. And when we eat that, that is the cause of our serious illnesses with all that blood that we are consuming. So we must be very careful. All the takeaways where we buy from, all the fillet and white meat we get, it is 99 or 100% all the meat which has been stunned. It is not the natural slaughtering process. So we must be very careful what we are consuming. So anyway, that was one very important aspect also we must understand. And the other is to get the spirituality of the qurbani. That is the spirit of sacrifice. From qurbani, not only that we sacrificing our money, that is what we feel. Oh, I have to spend 3,000 rand for my qurbani. I want to make qurbani for Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, which is a very important aspect also. Whoever can afford must by sure make qurbani for Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. For everyone, a person who on whom qurbani is not wajib, he hasn't got so much money, but he can manage it, he can scrape the money, he should also make qurbani. We should try and make for our little children, not from their money, from our money. For everyone, our marhumin, our parents, it's a very great ibadat. And the sawab, we convey to those people. We make on behalf of them the qurbani. It is a very great ibadat. We should not be let go. And we have just this 3 days to make this qurbani. The day of Eid, the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th, till Maghrib time. So that is the chance that we have got to try and make. And during those days, there is no ibadat Allah loves more than ihraq-e-dam. That is to make the blood flow and to slaughter the qurbani animals. Allah loves that the most. And during those 9 days, Allah loves the third kalima very greatly. So all this ibadat, we must get fully geared up. And then again, we must be also very concerned. Shaitan is also working and is seeing that on the day of Arafat, for example, the greatest day of the year is the day of Arafat. And the amount of people Allah sets free from the fire of Jahannam. Shaitan, this is one of the occasions he throws sand on himself, that he made effort on people to make what gunas and how wrong things. But they come to Arafat, al-hajj al-arafa. The real main essence of hajj is Arafat. So much so that even if a person is in Arafat and he slept the whole time, or he was in a coma, but he was just present in Arafat, even without wuzu, his hajj will be made. All the other things, what penalties he'll have to pay, that will be on their place according to the masalah, according to the various circumstances and conditions. But basically, his hajj will be made. So easy is hajj, and so happy Allah becomes when all the people gather there in Arafat, and Allah forgives them all. Shaitan, Allah is the most happiest, and Shaitan is the most unhappy, that he's seeing so many people. I made so much effort, I made them made what gunas, but yeah, they are forgiven, kayomin waladathu ummu, and they are clean of guna, like the day their mother gave birth to them. No gunas left on them. So, but then again, now Shaitan also is still trying, and what he has made, people are taking all selfies in Arafat also. And they are making their face, lifting their hand, and crying, making their face like a crying person with tears, all a false pretense. And all that is just why they want to make that selfie. Not for Allah's sake. If you do your make your face like a crying person, for Allah's sake, that also has got great value. But this is for that selfie. Or it is for somebody to take your photo. And when you go home, you want to show all your town people, family, people who will come and visit you. Haji Sahib has come now. Hajjan has come now. Let's go and visit them. And then we are showing them the photos. And in that we are destroying. And not only the guna we committed there in that honorable places, in that honorable time, but now we are perpetuating the guna. Wherever we are going, we are showing the selfie. Again, the guna we are committing. And these gunas are just increasing all the time. So we must not destroy it. In the same way with the qurbani. Now, unfortunately, it has also become common that photos are taken. And how the qurbani, how the animal, how the slaughtering is taking place with this great ibadat, which is pure, like pure zamzam water. And now we are adding urine. We are pouring urine over it. And we are taking the selfies. And men and women are mixing. And no separation. And some places perhaps, if there's worse, even some music playing or something. And all this, the haram thing, a pure, pure thing, keep it pure. Nobody likes adulteration. In any way, anything which is adultery is hated by everyone. Not only by Muslims, everyone. If we buy milk and the person, farmer comes and delivers to our house and he tells us that this is pure milk and it is from the cow. But we later come to find out he was adding water to it and he's charging us more money than the other milk and he's still adding water. How angry won't we become? Anything which is adulterated like that, a person hates that. So our ibadat also, we should not adulterate it. And we are adulterating it, water is mixed with milk. But yeah, with urine, with gunas, which are worse than urine, and worse than stool, we are mixing the pure ibadat of Allah, of Hajj, of Qurbani, of everything else also what we do, and we are mixing it with this haram, it is the worst guna. So we must avoid that also totally. And the spirit of Qurbani that we bring, Allah, the meat doesn't reach Allah Ta'ala. The flesh doesn't reach Allah. The blood doesn't reach Allah. It is the walaki yanaluhu taqwa minkum. That is your taqwa, your love of Allah, your fear of Allah. Allah loves that my banda, in my fear, he doesn't commit guna. My presence is in the forefront of his mind, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Namaz also, namaz we have to make, even if unfortunately we don't have concentration and devotion, still we have to make our namaz. But actually namaz is that inside concentration and devotion of namaz. That is when we will also enjoy namaz, when we have that contact with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. For example, a person sends an email to somebody. There is just an example. It isn't any permission or anything. And one is he makes a voice call. And once he makes a video call, and one is he's personally with that person. There is a great difference between all. One is we make a contact with Allah like an email. We just send a one-sided thing. And the other is we make like a voice call, and we are like speaking to Allah. And one is we make a video call, like we got direct contact with Allah Ta'ala. And more than that, we are personally present by Allah Ta'ala. We have found the ma'iyat, the contact with Allah Ta'ala. A person wants to get married. He thinks of a certain girl. Now just the thoughts of that girl makes him happy. For the girl that I'll be getting married to that boy makes them happy. Now when all the talks take place, the proposal is accepted, the wedding date is set, nikah takes place, all the time the happiness is growing. And then when the boy is coming and a girl is going to be receiving him, the excitement is now becoming greater. And finally, when they meet, how happy aren't they? So when we also go through the process and we meet with Allah, not that we are becoming more and more distant, how bitter it is that a people, when now you made nikah, everything, all the preparation, their people are gathered, and then it ends with the bitterness of talaq and divorce. How bitter isn't that? When we put gunas into our ibadat, we make it like that. Now we have divorced ourselves from Allah. Where we came so close to Allah, now by this gunas, of all this intermingling of the people on each day, etc. If there is unfortunately any music that is playing, or the TV is on, showing all about Hajj or whatever, and all that haram, and the photos that are being taken, then we are spoiling everything. So it is like now talaq has taken place, and all that sweetness is turned now into the worst bitterness. So Allah Ta'ala save us from that. Let us get the true spirit of sacrifice. And when it is sacrifice, we all calling it sacrifice. So sacrifice our desires that we would like to perpetuate it in our mind. So we take photos to look at it always. No, sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah. Don't do what we want to do. Our own desires, they aren't going to do anything for us. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen that foolish, stupid idiot who makes his own desires? He is God, he is Allah. Did our desires create us? Our desires giving us our food? Did our desires give us our eyes, our brains, any and everything else? Nothing whatsoever. It is all and only from Allah. So why must we obey our desires? Obey the commands of Allah. We want to make people happy. Keep all the people happy. We are afraid of the black backlash, that people will become upset and people will become angry. The people didn't create us. People didn't make us. Even our parents didn't make us. It was just an outward means which Allah is using. As I explained at Asbab, how many parents meet, no children they get. How many have only daughters and they are dying to have a son? How many only have sons and they are dying to have a daughter? It is all in Allah's hands. If Allah wishes, Allah gives boys, girls. Allah wishes, Allah gives barren, nothing. If Allah wishes, may Allah save us all. We get retarded children. We get children with brain damage. We get children with heart damage, lung damage. We get children which are crippled. What and what of Allah save us all. So it's not in our hands. It's not the meeting of the husband and the wife. It is all in the hands of Allah. So why are we pleasing other people, other things? Make Allah happy. See the command of Allah. And who makes Allah happy? Allah will make him so happy that the whole world together cannot make him as happy as what Allah makes him. He won't see any of the outward causes of happiness, but the happiness he joy enjoys in his heart. That Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. That Allah takes out all the fear from the heart. Allah gives great comfort in the heart. And the comfort and enjoyment which is in the heart, which is the king of the body. Once the heart experiences all that, the rest of the body also feels happy. And if you want to make everyone happy, and we make Allah unhappy, Allah Ta'ala puts agitation in their heart. Allah Ta'ala puts parishani, worry, perplexity, anxiety, depression, all that Allah puts in that person. And he can be living in a beautiful mansion, He can be loving and his wife can be the most beautiful woman also. But he in his heart is unhappy. Everything is bitter for him. Everything is sour for him. He doesn't enjoy anything. So let us not try and please our nafs. Let us not try and please people. Let us not go with the flow. Let us not do what people are saying. Let us do what Allah wants us to do. And this is what the Qurban is here to teach us. Stay away from all the photography. Take out this misconception that the animal is suffering and getting pain. The animal also is enjoying when it's slaughtered in the right way. And the animal is eager to be slaughtered. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam in his Hajjatul Wada, he slaughtered 100 camels. 63 with his own hand, and the balance he asked Hazrat Ali to slaughter. Those camels and animals were coming forward eagerly to be slaughtered. Really, that is the case when we obey Allah and we bring our animals also now also, and for Allah's pleasure, and we do it in the correct way. Those animals are also keen to submit to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah give us the true spirit of this Qurbani, and let us still study and listen to more bayan and study more and what the Qurbani is about. The historical aspect of this Qurbani. The Sahaba asked, Ma hadhihi al-adhahi ya Rasulullah? What is this Qurbani all about? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sunnato abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnah, the way of your forefather Ibrahim. His sunnah. And Allah made that sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam slaughtering his son, Ismail alayhi salam, replaced it with the ram. But Allah made it a living, not a statue there in Mina that we all go and see that Ibrahim alayhi salam, a statue is made. He's got the knife in his hand. His son is lying down, or the sheep is lying down and is slaughtering. No, Allah made it a living remembrance. Not just you see a statue, but everyone. And Allah made it across the board. Not only there in Mina will the slaughtering take place, but in the whole world. Not only man will slaughter, woman will slaughter. And not only in the cleaning and all that will we be engaged, the whole family will be engaged. We'll ask the little children to hold the leg of the animal while we are cleaning here. Another one holds that leg. After slaughtering, the whole family will eat. We will distribute to the poor who couldn't afford to make qurbani. Qurbani meat is allowed to give to non-Muslims. They will also take part. So the whole world becomes part of this great, great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. May Allah give us all the reality.